Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your yarning circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country, BBM, Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calling on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional and trusted beautiful country of ours. Welcome back to National Talk Black. Have your saying, yarn up strong, you mob. All ears here for your yarn. A big shout out to the First Nation radio station across this deadly country of ours, a deadly black network, and good conversations with our mob and with all peoples in regard to whatever topics we want to talk about. You can do the same here on this program, and all ears here for your deadly yarns here on National Talk Black with Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. Now, in recently published submissions to a New South Wales parliamentary inquiry, Indigenous fishers have described being exposed to aggressive treatment and targeting by Fisheries New South Wales officers working on the state's south coast. Section 21AA of the New South Wales Fisheries Management Amendment Act makes special provision for an Aboriginal person to take or possess fish for cultural fishing purposes, despite other limits. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Paul Cleary, a policy and advocacy lead with Oxfam Australia. On the line, Paul, good morning. How are you?
Very well, thanks.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, a very important conversation, and when we're talking about cultural fishing, that's got to be front and centre in regard to the rules and regulations, yes?
Well, that's right. I mean, like, unfortunately, in New South Wales, they really haven't made provision for this. That amendment that went through Parliament has never entered into force. And so, really, Aboriginal people in the state, they're in a strange, you know, like they're neither here nor there.
No man's land, so to speak.
That's right, yeah. And so this has then led to a huge amount of quite aggressive enforcement that they've gone around and tried to practice their traditional culture, which isn't being respected by the law. There's quite a number of ended up in jail, or they've been fined, and they're being harassed on a regular basis.
Yeah, and look, the authorities are doing their job because, as per the rules, but then it crosses a line in regard to respect of traditional people, traditional owners doing traditional hunting on their sea country.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, what's really interesting about the south coast of New South Wales, and you probably appreciate this where you are, is the connection to country is very strong. And people have been living a traditional lifestyle. I would say many of them still are, but I mean, the people who are literally camping out around the headlands, fishing, looking after themselves and their families. And what's interesting is there's a native title claim which has now been registered with the tribunal and accepted. And, you know, it may well be that what's happening here is the government is trying to sort of stamp out these practices as part of the negotiations that are going to go on around that claim.
So there's still, untied business in regards to the actions and the so-called rules and regulations. And they need to put it front and centre, and they need to discuss it.
Well, no, that's right. I mean, the government has come out and said, for example, a non-Indigenous fisher can take two abalone per day, and there's been some concession, and they've said, well, if you're an Aboriginal person, you can take 10. But, I mean, the view is that that's still pretty tokenistic, and it doesn't really address the community's needs. I mean, the idea of people living on abalone is they see it as a form of medicine. And yes, if you go down and meet some of these Aboriginal fishers, as I've done, They're some of the fittest and healthiest Aboriginal people you'll find in this country because they're practicing their traditional culture, eating their traditional tucker, and that's got to be a good thing for them and also for the whole of society that we've got, you know, Aboriginal people living in this way, in such a healthy lifestyle.
Well, in opening up the conversation, a form of human rights abuse, and that's what it leads to in regard to authorities doing their job as per the rules, but the rules need to change. And we're talking about the whole of the state of New South Wales, aren't we? You there, Paul? That's Paul. Paul Cleary. Lost Paul Cleary there. Paul Cleary, our policy and advocacy lead with Oxfam Australia. And we're talking about the space of Indigenous fishers, treatment, human rights abuse. New South Wales inquiry here is policy and advocate lead with Oxfam Australia. Paul Cleary was stating the fact that the heavy level of policy and surveillance of Indigenous fishers on the New South Wales coast was a form of human rights abuse. And one of the most extreme examples, he had seen his work with Indigenous communities across Australia. So, look, it's work that's yet to be sorted in regards to First Nation people on country, in Sealand country, in New South Wales, and rules and regulations need to be supplied. I'll just check with Paul again. Paul, you there, Paul?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, lost you, mate. Sorry, yeah. So in regards to, do you know how far we are away regarding the so-called rules and regulation to be passed or policy to be passed for First Nation people to fish as traditional owners?
Well, yeah, what's interesting is that this amendment went to the state parliament back in 2009 and it's never been enacted, and so now we're having this inquiry by the New South Wales Parliament, which is a great initiative on their part. And
you're saying 2009, here we are 13 years later, still waiting.
I know, it just shows you, it must be very frustrating for First Nations people in this country, you know, to have to be kept waiting so long, isn't it?
But so-called intro.
Yeah, that's right. But look, we are getting some movement, and, you know, the government is conceding that finally that they do need to give ground and do something constructive in this area. So that is pretty positive as well. But, I mean, like, the Premier of New South Wales has said front and centre that he wants closing the gap and policies to improve the well-being of First Nations people to be a key part of his agenda. Well, you couldn't sort of like think of something better to do than to really support Aboriginal people in this regard, because as I said earlier, it's great for them, it's also great for their communities and for the state as a whole.
Yes. Well, what are we looking at? Looking at 2035. That's another 13 years. Hope we don't have to wait till that long. But thank you very much for your yarn there, Paul. All the best to you, my friend. That's Paul Cleary, policy and advocacy lead with Oxfam Australia. Yeah, talking about that space there, and it's very sad. Conversation started back in 2009 regarding passing the laws and regulations in regard to traditional owners operating on sea country, but it's still in the in-tray. There it is, and here we are, 2022, 13 years later. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
What happened to the good old ways when everybody cared? Didn't have much of anything. What we had, we always shared. We always helped someone out in their hour of need. As the essence of our culture, giving in to the power of greed. Listen to the spirit. Listen to the spirit. Listen to the spirit of our good old Koori way. Listen to the spirit. Listen to Listen to the spirit of our good old Koori way. A lot of good men and women fought for the freedom we enjoy. Now there isn't much of anything we can't give our girls and boys. But some of us have forgotten what this struggle is for. And they're living in ivory towers with marble on their floor. So listen to the spirit. Listen to the spirit.
Yeah, beautiful track. Good old Koori Ways, Johnny Huckle here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your saying, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Call the number, Yarn Up with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. Come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 19.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. So Yarn Up Strong, your mob, too deadly, ready for the yarn. All right, now, closing the gap in life expectancy for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples will be the focus of an Australian First New Health Alliance. We're going to catch up and have a yarn now with James Ward, Director of the Research Alliance for Urban Koori Health, on the line. James, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Trevor. Thanks for having me on the show.
No, beautiful, Professor. Thank you very much for coming to the program. And before we start, Professor, my brother, can you let the mob know who your mob, where you're from, please?
Yeah, Pidnara and Nookanoo mob from Central and South Australia. I live in Meanjin in Brisbane here, and lovely sunny day here.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you. So the Research Alliance for Urban Koori Health will unite research organisation, health service and primary health care provided to improve health for Aboriginal and Torres Strait peoples. Closing the gap, and we're sick of singing that song, but it needs to be done, does it not, James?
Yeah, we'll be on this journey for a while to go yet, and this new alliance is really a great initiative to help move things along. Unfortunately, things are not moving at a fast enough pace, and we need to really step up. We need to step up our work and our activities, and including this new alliance.
What are some of the issues you're looking at to explore, my friend? You there, Professor? Hey, lost Professor. Professor James Ward. No, we'll try and get him back. Professor James Ward, part of the Alliance, and we're talking about Australia's First Health Alliance aiming to close gap, and that's the conversation we're having with Professor James Ward. Like I said, a long way to go, as he said, and we sound like a broken record when we're talking about closing the gap, but need to close that gap in the space of health, of course, and the life expectancy for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. And that'll be the focus for the Australian First New Health Alliance. But we'll try and get Professor James Ward back online and continue that conversation. But stay tuned here, your daily program, National Talk Black. Daily number here is 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. You can always text a brother, 045-714-0550. And don't forget our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. Just try again with brother Professor James Ward on the line. Professor James, you there?
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, sorry, yeah, thank you. Yeah,
I don't know what happened there.
Yeah. Lost you there, but all good. So I'm talking about some of the issues that you might be looking to explore. Can you share that with us there, please, Professor?
Yeah, so this is a new research alliance. It's between the Institute for Urban Indigenous Health, the largest Aboriginal community-controlled health organisation in the country, the Metro North Hospital and Health Service, which is the largest hospital and health service in the country, and the centre that I'm the director of, the POSH Centre, which is a research centre.
Yes.
So what we're trying to do is kind of look at the whole healthcare system. So people might go to an AMS or Aboriginal Medical Service and then get referred to the hospital. But sometimes we know that people don't, they fall off the system in between those two kind of health services.
Yes.
What we're trying to do is where it works well, to understand where it works well, where it doesn't work so well, and it's a real focus on urban Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander people as well here in Brisbane, but really try and improve models of care so we can get better outcomes in health for our population that live here in Brisbane's north.
Yeah, exactly. When you're talking POSH Centre for Indigenous Health and Institute of Urban Indigenous Health, also Metro North Health, it shows that it's a team, and it's a team effort, isn't it, regarding closing the gap? And we're all in this together, are we not?
Yeah, so this is a unique partnership. It's a one between government, community, and the academic world. And it's really a nice partnership. It's one of its first in the, of its kind in Australia. And really got a whole suite of things. We know there's plenty of things that are not right for urban Indigenous mob. And, you know, life expectancy is still 8 years younger for a person born in the city today.
Yes.
We've got vaccination rates, which are lower in the cities. We've got, you know, COVID-19 has shown us that, you know, the issues are as important as they are for people living in remote and regional areas. We still need work in those areas, that's for sure. But, you know, there's a whole lot of issues that often gets overlooked in the metropolitan cities around the country.
And look, it's, look, we have a new sheriff in town regarding new government, new Prime Minister, Labor Party, and with Anthony Albanese, and having Linda Burney there as well as the first Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander woman to lead the Indigenous Affairs. It's a good thing. There's like light at the end of the tunnel, you would think, would you not?
Yeah, yeah. It's we've definitely turned over a new leaf on the weekend, and yeah, Minister Linda Burney has a long track record working with our people in both Canberra and in New South Wales. She's a fantastic woman. She's got compassion and empathy, and I think we'll make a very good Indigenous Affairs Minister. We also found out the Health Minister last night, Mark Butler, he previously held a health portfolio, so he's got a bit of track record in the space. So we should be, things are looking pretty good.
Yeah, good. Light at the end of the tunnel. Professor James, thank you so very much for sharing. Look, all the best with the Alliance. Please do keep in touch. And, yeah, let's close that gap, my friend.
Yeah, no worries. Yep, all of us together. Thanks.
You take care, bro. Bye-bye. A beautiful yarn there. That's Professor James Ward, Deadly Brother, Director of the Research Alliance for Urban Guri Health and Australian First Health Alliance, aiming to close the gap. And like I said, we're sick of singing that record and we need to get it together. You mob, have your say. Yarn Up Strong here, National Talk Black. Your deadly program, have your say, 1-800-422-416.
By the name of Paini, turns into a Jilawa.
You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it.
Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on our national talk track, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
to Deadly Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. On your dingy country, that's BBM Bummer Bit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text a brother, 045-714-0550, and our Facebook page of BBM 987 FM. All right, next segment is Which Way Yarning, proudly sponsored by Pekoni, IGA, Brisbane, Edmonton, and they give us a box of fruit here once a week. And healthy living, healthy lifestyle, we talk. So choose on a Mar bar, chewing on a Mars bar, chewing an apple or banana, too deadly a mob. Healthy living, healthy lifestyle. Okay, we're going to catch up with the guys and girls in blue. We got PLO, Police Liaison Officer, we have Steve Stephen Grant, and also we've got Nicole, who's come back to join us. Nicole, long time no see, and they got bought a bodyguard. They got Aaron Taylor from Youth Justice. Very good morning to you all. How are you all?
Good, thank you.
Good morning, Trevor. How are you? Good.
Yeah,
how
really well.
Yep.
Brother Aaron, which way?
Yeah, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, brother. Good to see you. Start with you, my sister. Who your mob were you from?
So my grandparents from Yarrabah.
Yeah, represent.
Mm-hmm.
Gungangi, big shout out Yarrabah.
Yes.
So how long have you been in the force there, my sis?
17 years.
17 yeah. years. Yeah. There you go.
It's just gone by so quickly.
Shut your mouth. Three more years, 20. There it is.
I know.
Go for Sergeant Len Delay's job.
Nah, he can have that one.
He's watching you. Stephen Grant, who your mob were you from?
Good morning, Trevor. My name's Steve Grant. I'm from the Jitterbol area, which is Cardwell. Tropical rainforest of the Tablelands and out to Ravenshoe,
beautiful footprint there. Aaron Taylor, my brother, Youth Justice. Who your mob? Where you from?
Good morning, brother. I am a Barkindji Wimpatcha man from New South Wales, Broken Hill.
Coorie, there it is, Coorie.
Mm-hmm.
And we got the State of Origin happening soon. Which way, brother? Cockroach Doc?
Nah, follow Queensland.
Oh, there he goes. There he goes. Respect his body, following Queensland. Too deadly, my brother. Good to see you. Let's talk about, here we are, the week of National Reconciliation Week. And look, a very important week. This year's theme, Be Brave, Make Change. Over to you guys, Queensland Police, First Nation Network Management Committee, ask the following questions. What can QPS do to make change?
Oh, good question, Trevor. I think the first one is to listen to the voice, listen to our elders, spread that word out across the community, and take some time just to listen to the traditional owners and the elders of the local community, as I've experienced always.
Good advice. Yep. What's your take on that, sister?
I completely agree with Steve. And also just to slow down, we slow down and we still have to understand and respect and appreciate that there's still a lot of things there in the background that that this blue uniform represents a lot of, unfortunately, sad and bad times.
Mm, but it can be good times.
It can be, yeah.
You know, little relationships.
So that's what, just to be mindful, we're mindful of that. But also the community, we want the community to know that that's not us anymore. We've had complete new makeover. We understand that. You know, we learned a lot from that.
Sure,
Our community has learned a lot from that. We're trying to move away.
I'd like to think we'll actually bring Aaron into the conversation. Aaron, what's your thought on National Reconciliation Week, my brother?
I think it's a good week. I think it's a good week for everyone to get together and recognise and I think just acknowledge, you know, about the people, about the land, about, you know, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander culture.
Yes.
And just, you know, recognising our past elders and present and current elders as well.
Yes, exactly. It's a bridge builder, isn't it, guys, when you look at something like this and the fact that it's a national reconciliation, it's a national thing, so across the country, and that's like I said, a bridgeway for our non-Indigenous brothers and sisters to walk back and forth with us, walk a mile in our shoes, so to speak, and understand, but also for black people to be proud of their culture, you know what I mean? And when you say about being a true warrior, that's not like being a gangster.
No.
You know what I mean? You know, our warriors, our true warriors, ancestors, were strong spiritual people, you know what I mean? So this gangster stuff, you need to snap out of it, I reckon.
Snap out of that and have the courage to be the person where you come from and who you are. Not
Yeah, exactly. We asked a question here as well. QBS asked, what can I do to make change? So we're talking about the individual. So let's go there. What can I do to change?
With my current role, for example, Trevor, as a senior liaison officer with the police for the last 18 years, it's that bridging gap I've found over that period of time. And obviously there's a lot of time to listen and, you know, takes a big change to, you know, to make that gap a lot smaller.
Sure.
In community.
Yep.
And obviously there's a word I call respect on both parties. And, hopefully we can move on.
Yeah.
You know, it is reconciliation. And as I was watching the 7:30 report last night, with the new government currently in place, there's 10 Indigenous faces in the caucus.
First time ever.
Yeah.
Big numbers. So fantastic.
Obviously, just like Sister Nicole just said, it's going to take time, but hopefully that we can move on and, you know, hopefully make the future a better place for young and old.
And I say to all our mob out there, you are working, even if with a black organisation, if you're working in a job, a black organisation or private business, you're working with white people.
Correct.
And so your colleagues you're working with, you're having lunch, you're working alongside them, there's conversations.
Correct.
You know, and education opportunities.
And it's also you know? Trevor, I've found out is with the QPS, you know, with the 13,000 staff across the state, our workplace is a very, very multicultural society these days, exactly. You know, and that's a big task on our listings in our workplace.
And Nicole, what can I do to make change?
I kind of feel like Steve's taking my answers.
Steve, knock off.
Stop it.
The next third question, straight to her first.
It's conversations on both sides. I think it doesn't, like, without having to, it's simple. We don't have to make it difficult. It's not a difficult thing.
And it doesn't have to turn into an argument as such.
No, and it doesn't have to be an in-depth conversation or anything like that. It's just a simple, it can just be a simple hello, you know, over a period of time, which can build rapport and to other conversations and through that developing trust with someone who's not from your community. So, I think there's a lot to be said for just simple, the small manners of hello, how are you?
Exactly.
Can go a long way.
Yeah. Aaron Taylor, Youth Justice, what can I do to make change, brother?
I think Nicole and Steve have taken both answers.
Stop stealing each other's yarns.
So, pretty much the same as them. I just really just showing that acknowledgement and respect of each other and oneself as well.
Yes.
If you can respect yourself in turn, you know, you'll be able to respect others. So I think that's a big thing.
Exactly.
That's
good point. Good point. And Nicole, to you, first question of the third question, what can the community do to make change? Let's talk community, sister.
So if the whole community as a whole can just accept one another. It's good. I kind of think that question is a bit double. It's sort of loaded. And there's so many people that make up a community, and if the each person within that community just does their little bit.
The word respect comes to mind.
Yeah.
You know? And we're just talking about arguments, what have you. It takes two people to argue. You know?
Correct.
I mean, like, walk away. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Don't let your ego take over.
That's true. Don't let your ego take over.
Yeah.
But it's not about being right. It's about doing what's right.
That's right.
Hey, that's right. You know? Yeah, I like that. That's good. Thank you. Chuck that in there. Steve, you feel the same way? What can the community do to make change?
Oh, look, the community has to work together as a whole, as one. I've always find, we're out there to help and, you know, the community with the QPS and other members of backgrounds, minority groups. You know, to make it better, we can always work together as one.
Yes,
I find.
Yep.
And just show that big word, like you just said before, a bit of respect. That's
very important.
Very important.
Aaron Taylor, Youth Justice. What can the community do to make change, brother?
Pretty much what Steve just touched on. Yeah, I think just really, you know, everyone having a voice and just, you know, acknowledging each other's opinions and really coming together, I think, and just really just all around that respect stuff, you know, just making sure everyone can have a positive opinion and can acknowledge each other.
Well, exactly. And when you look at, probably over to you, Aaron, there, when you talk about youth justice, a lot of our youth are in trouble with the law, you know. Young ones having their ears as well, you know. I mean, you're probably in that position where you talk to them, young people, when they're in trouble, you know, and you give that sound advice in regarding decision making and, you know, and think before you speak and think before you act and respect. I mean, that must be full on in your job, my brother.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's challenging, you know, being a young black fella, you know, in the community, it's challenging because you got to
be the voice of the folks.
Be a good role model, sure. I guess, you know, be a positive role model.
Well, some of these kids haven't got role models, you know what I mean? And that's why they're out in the streets or what have you, or up to no good, you know?
Yeah.
Or it's hard for the parents, if not grandparents, who are looking after these kids, you know? And, a child is like a piece of paper, and we all walk past a piece of paper, we leave a mark there.
Yeah. Mm.
The question we ask is, what mark are you leaving on a piece of paper?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that sort of stuff, you know. So anytime you had kids in your draft and a time to chat, chuck out the good vibes out there. Make the statements, you know. Think before you act, or, hey, listen, you're deadly. Why are you going to do this for? You're a good boy. Good boys don't do this. I mean, just make statements like so, you know. Yeah. The penny may drop, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what it's all
just
about.
Just about breaking down the barriers, I think, Trevor, on both parties.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Show that voice, show that acknowledgement.
Exactly. And when you look at a celebration like that, National Reconciliation Week, here we are talking about it. So when they make a statement like so, or make a day or a week of it, there's the platform for us to have these conversations.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If there wasn't a National Reconciliation Week, we wouldn't be yarning about it.
True. Yeah.
You know? And look, we storytellers, we belong to yarn, us black people, so, you know, it's a powerful tool.
Correct.
You know, exactly. All right, so anything happening at the station? Do you guys in the station? How's your communication with your non-Indigenous police officers, for example, in the space?
Oh, just a quick one, Noel. We had our mobile police facility, myself and Senior Sergeant Glenn Dolo, parked outside IGA in Edmonton on Friday.
Yes.
Between the hours of 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. We got very good rapport.
People come up and have a yarn?
Yeah, having a yarn with the police. Just checking out our mobile facility.
Yep.
It's a big van,
isn't it?
It's a big van.
And people can walk in and have a look?
It's just like a mobile police bed, really.
And what you got in there? Like
all our communication skills,
okay.
Systems are there.
Yes.
Which goes back to our hub back in Cairns. And it also goes from south to Gordon Vale all the way up to the northern beaches.
Yeah, well, see, even that, they're looking at it, and if a young Indigenous brother there looking at that, says, oh, you communicate directly with the Cairns station. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cameras everywhere. Oh, okay.
You'd be surprised the amount of people coming forward on that Friday to make inquiries about, you know, their car's been damaged.
Sure.
And I think they've been too frightened to either go into a police station to put that report on or even make that report through PoliceLink 131444.
People would think it's a waste of time putting in a report.
Well, it's obviously the officer's got to get a statement from, you know, if there's going to be a report in, then obviously it'll be investigated. A lot of people don't like to come into that police station. To do that, but you know, that mobile police facility there's always officers there that can take a quick version of the incident.
Well, if you put a report in and you don't know, but there's like 15 other people in the same area put the report in, then that shows there's a high area of crime.
Yes.
So then you'll have more police in that area.
Yes.
So we don't have it again. That sort of stuff, eh?
And that police,
statistics.
That mobile facility can be utilised, for example, at you know, the drag races Saturday night at Edmonton, just to show the police presence. We're not there to arrest anyone or use it for our...
Showing the tools are available.
Just that
and
unit's
keeping the community safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and serve the people.
Correct.
That's what you do. Aaron, your job, Taylor, Aaron Taylor, as a youth justice, so what's your job? What do you entail? What's your title there, brother?
So my job is, the title is co-responder.
Mm.
So we work in line with QPS. Our main focus is kind of like early intervention, sort of that really try and stop that. Well, not stop, I would say, just trying to limit the over-representation of young people being in the watch house and in the youth justice system.
We need to get those numbers down.
Yeah, so that's our main focus.
Yeah. How long have you been doing the job, bro?
About a year and a bit, push 2 years, yeah.
All right, fantastic, brother.
So it's been good. It's challenging. It's been challenging in regards to working in line with QPS and doing the shift work. But we've really come a long way and, you know, built a lot of good rapport with the young people and the community and families.
Beautiful. Fantastic. Well, you Deadly Mob, happy National Reconciliation Week. Thank you very much for the yarn. Be brave. Make change. That's the theme for this year. And look, all the best to you guys. Nicole, thank you for coming in. Good
thank
to see you, my sister.
Thank you for having me back. It's
yeah, been a while, darling.
You.
You look prettier than these boys. And good to see you, my sister. And give my love to Sergeant Glenn Delay.
Yes.
Yeah, tell him I miss him. And,
yes.
And ask him if he wants my bank details. I can flick that to him as well. Shut up. Today. And Aaron, good to see you, my brother.
You too, brother.
One love. Take care of you, Mob.
Take care.
Thank you.
All right. Which Way Yarning, proudly sponsored by Pekoni, IGA, Brinsmead, Edmonton. And they give us here at Bummer Bipper Media, Box of Food, Healthy Living, Healthy Lifestyle, Message We Deliver. And a good yarn there with the QPS, Queensland Police, Edmonton, and talking about the National Reconciliation Week and the theme, Be Brave, Make Change. There it is, your mob. Have you saying Yana Strong? Got about 5 minutes left on the program. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Hey, what get on your mob? It's me, Bush Tucker Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Mark Aran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Thank you for the memories that you gave me and the happiness you brought into my life. The many years that you stayed with me were the best years of my life. Now you're gone, oh you're gone, and you've left me here all alone. Now you're gone, oh you're gone, but your memories keep on keeping on. I've never stopped loving you, even through our private war.
Yeah, Deadly Voice of Jessica Mowboy, and that's Breathe. Hope you mob are breathing. This is your Deadly Program, National Talk Black, and a catch up with Sylvia WA. Good morning, sister.
Kaya Quab Kedula Trevor's 20 Trev brother.
How are you, darling?
Feeling better. The vaccines take their toll, you know?
Yes.
But lucky we can have them. Very quickly, Japan has identified two new variants from Africa, poor people, more deadly and more contagious.
Sad, isn't it? What's the world coming to, my sister?
They should have kept the borders closed everywhere and stopped being so travel, consumerist, capitalistic idiots.
Well, exactly, you know, and they open up the floodgates and, and then come the so-called diseases, hey?
Yes, but changing the subject to something equally important.
Mm.
This year, 2022, is the 50th year of the Tenth Embassy.
Oh, yes.
And the 30th year of Mabo.
Exactly, 30 years Mabo. And and the 30 years, of course, with the Tosh Olam flag as well.
Absolutely. Mm. And what I'm going to say, because I heard lots of the discussions when the ALP started to win the election,
mm-hmm.
and they said that the other mob wasted a decade. They didn't waste a decade. They wasted at least three decades.
Yeah. Good words,
because
yeah.
our law stops climate change, stops the fires, stops the diseases, everything.
Yeah, darling.
Our law puts the priorities and does the right thing.
Well, the first law of the land, highest law of the land, you know, that's what they say.
Absolutely.
Mm.
Absolutely. That's how people teach the newcomers to this country what a great culture it is and how humane it is, and for the animals who are suffering everywhere.
Well, exactly, our brothers and sisters there. That's Sylvia. Murray, got to go for the news coming up here very soon, you mob. Thank you very much for your time. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. Sylvia, give us a call tomorrow, continue that yarn. And look, you mob, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong, and take care of yourselves. Too deadly.